Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 22nd day of July, 2020. And just a heads up, folks, if we happen to go off the air, it might not necessarily be because some leftists in government power have kicked us off the air, or some other entity unbeknownst to us. But there is a thunderstorm, thunder and lightning storm going on outside, and you never know when that goes on if we are going to retain power. I hope that we do, because we have a very important program. It's part two of a subject matter that we began in May of this year. This is part two of Church versus State, question mark. Not intrinsically in opposition, and to discuss this once again, is Dick Guido, elder of the Providence Presbyterian Church in Huntsville, Alabama, and member of both the New York and Alabama Bar Association and the Bar of the Supreme Court. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back for the second time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dick Guido.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. It's very good for you to have me back. I'm looking forward to it.
And before we go into this very important subject at hand, which seems to be growing in its relevance as we watch with horror things going on in the news across our nation, tell us about the Providence Presbyterian Church in Huntsville, Alabama.
Providence Presbyterian Church was founded in approximately 2005. I was a ruling elder there for 12 years until I left and moved up to Pennsylvania because of medical reasons for my wife. It is a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Its pastor is Pastor Darren Tolley. Pastor Tolley has been there since 2010. We've experienced a good deal of growth at Providence Presbyterian Church. It is a church that I regard as a church that is filled with unity. It is filled with expectation as to what the Lord will provide in terms of His Word. They are faithful hearers and faithful doers there. So I can't recommend the church highly enough for those of you who are in the South and get to Huntsville, the Rocket City, where the Space and Rocket Center is, and many other attractions.
So are you back there in Alabama, or are you still in Pennsylvania?
I'm in North Carolina, Chris.
I'm a
member of Shiloh Presbyterian Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Since I left Alabama, again because of my late wife's condition, the Presbytery of the South appointed me to augment the session in Huntsville, Alabama, which is what I'm doing.
I see. Well, it's great to have you on the show, and if anybody has any further questions about Providence Presbyterian Church in Huntsville, Alabama, you can find them on the internet at providencehuntsville.com, providencehuntsville.com. And what's the website of your current church?
It's shilohopc.org.
shilohopc.org. I'm correct in the spelling of Shiloh, right? S-H-I-L-O-H, correct?
Correct.
All righty. Let me also give our listeners our email address if you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own about church versus state. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence, if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Much has been written and discussed in recent months concerning the interaction of the churches and the civil magistrate as they both encounter the coronavirus pandemic. I'd like to hear your responses to any updates that have occurred since our last discussion in May, and as far as the rise of the coronavirus, both in its realities and also the hysteria that has been unfortunately attached to it.
Sure, Chris. Let me say that when we look at the most recent developments as far as the churches and the coronavirus, I think it's very important to put them in the context of what the Constitution actually says about the relationship between church and state. It's only 16 words in the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, those 16 words have been extensively debated and indeed litigated in the context of the coronavirus. The scripture's teaching on the matter of obedience or disobedience to civil authority basically comes from several sources in the scripture. Let me summarize that God has established civil authority for his glory, for our good, and for the punishment of wrongdoers. And Chris, as you pointed out, in seeing what's going on in our society right now, both that portion of the establishment of civil authority in the form of the civil magistrate gets into what is for our good and also for the punishment of the wrongdoing that we see so much going on in our society. Having said that, the Christians are generally obligated to obey civil authority. I would call it the so-called default position. And that's true, and this is an important portion of God's word on this matter. That obedience is due even if those authorities are evil or permit evil. And certainly our Lord's own life and experiences are very important manifestations of that duty, even in the face of an evil civil magistrate.
Well, one of the things that complicates matters, though, in regard to the way that the government has restricted the public gatherings of churches, and those seem to have been loosened greatly, if not completely, depending upon where you live. But there are those that believe that the government, the local governments, the state governments, depending upon where you live, have wrongfully exercised authority that they don't have to interrupt the free exercise of our religion. There are those that, and in fact, I've had Christians on this show who seem to have disagreed over this, and I speak regularly to Christians, even those that seem to have a level of authority on this issue, depending upon what they do in their career or what they have read and studied. But there are those that I have interviewed even on the show, and they have said, no, the government was completely legitimate in its insisting that congregations shut down at the time that they did for public gathered worship. And there are those others that I've had on my show who said, no, the government, local governors of individual states have no such authority to do that. So where are you coming from on this?
Well, I think it's very important to look at really what's happened in this country. I know as a theoretical matter, it's very easy for what I would call Christian libertarians to take the view that whenever the civil magistrate purports to deal with the churches, he is acting extra-constitutionally. I don't see that in terms of what I have just read in Romans 13, that the civil magistrate is established for our own good and for the punishment of wrongdoers. Now, that's certainly not to say that the power of the magistrate is unlimited, and that's one of the basic things that I wanted to get into and which we discussed last time is establishing a spectrum that runs from Romans 13 to Acts 5:29 as to those areas in which progressively Christians are first of all obligated to obey the civil magistrate, but progressing to certain situations where they're not only may, but they're obligated to disobey the civil magistrate. So that's a general context that I would respond to that question. And I think it's important then to look at where we are on that spectrum right now. The churches are not closed in the United States. Worship is not prohibited. The restrictions that have been put in place have been temporary and limited in scope. They are, in my view, an appropriate exercise of the civil magistrate's authority, given his God-given responsibilities in Romans 13, to protect the public health and welfare. Now, let's remember, Chris, that I got my monthly or daily update on the statistics of the coronavirus. As of this morning, more than 142,000 people have died in this country of the coronavirus. More than 1.8 million people have been affected. This virus has inflicted incalculable economic damage to the country. So the actions of the civil magistrate, therefore, in protecting the population and in doing that regulating the churches, under my view, do not offend the Constitution of the United States. They do not progress to the point that we are obligated as Christians, given Acts 5:29, to resist and disobey the civil magistrate. So I'm very much aware of the Christian civil libertarian position, if you want to call it that. But I have to say that I simply disagree with it. I think that when we as Christians are obligated to do, when we take into account the whole counsel of God, you have that spectrum that authorizes and indeed requires Christian obedience as a default position, and only disobedience in an extreme situation. And I do not believe at this point in our society that we have yet reached that extreme position.
Of course, the last thing that you mentioned in regard to the negative impact of the coronavirus pandemic, the financial devastation of this country, that has been largely attributed to the very exercise of government restrictions on businesses and so forth. So that has actually been used as a reason for claiming the government has overreached its constitutional authority and has been a very negative thing for this country. And going back to the numbers of people who have perished, obviously, anybody who perishes from this is reason for mourning. And we are very sad about this occurring, and we mourn with those who mourn. But at the same time, I have understood that comparatively to other illnesses, like even the flu, this has not been as serious as other illnesses that never required such harsh restrictions.
Well, Chris, I would say that it is a difficult question. I would say that when you look at the responsibilities of church leaders and those responsibilities that are given to them under the fifth commandment to see to the welfare of their flocks, that responsibility under the fifth commandment is not limited to the churches. It is also expressly given to the civil magistrate to see to the welfare of his subjects. And I think that has been done in this case. I think it's been the case that had we had no regulation upon the gathering of the churches for public worship, I hate to see what the result would have been in the churches. Let me go back, if I may, to what Martin Luther said about this, about the responsibility of church leaders to shepherd their flocks. He asked the question, may one flee from a deadly plague? And in the only way that Luther can, he goes after those who he says are much too rash and reckless, tempting God and disregarding everything which might counteract death and the plague. Therefore, there he's raising, I think, which is a very important question, and that I would offer to my Christian colleagues who have a much different position than I do as far as a civil libertarian view. You must examine, is there not a point when you are no longer honoring God, but tempting him by virtue of your actions with regard to your congregation? Luther goes on. One who disregards everything in holding public worship in the face of a plague injures his body and must be aware lest he become a suicide in God's eyes. It is shameful for a person to pay no heed to his own body and fail to protect it against the plague as best as he is able, and then to infect and poison others who might have remained alive if he had taken care of his body as he should have. I think those are pretty strong words, and I think those words apply to ministers and sessions today who have an important obligation to sit back and take a deep breath when they look at a portion of Scripture that seems to dictate that they examine or gather for public worship despite the rules of the civil magistrate. What are the consequences as far as they're doing so? If one person in the congregation passes away as a result of the COVID virus, what do they say to the family? If there are neighborhoods and homes in the close vicinity of the church where they have gathered in violation of civil magistrate restrictions, and the coronavirus spreads to those homes, what is the reaction of those people as far as the church is concerned? What view do they have as of the church? They view the church as an entity that views itself as being free from the restrictions that bind everybody else, and they do it in the name of religion. So think those are some of the things that are very important in looking at the question that you raised, Chris.
Well, you basically have set out some principles that we should go by when trying to understand this more clearly. For instance, our obligation as Christians to place ourselves in any particular situation and determine what our response should be, it's not always easy to do in the context of something like a coronavirus pandemic. And first of all, we're faced with not good versus evil, which would make matters easier when we make decisions, but good versus good, if you could explain that a little bit more.
Yeah, in terms of good versus good, that's always the more difficult proposition, isn't it, than the case of good versus evil. The goods in this case are the obligation that we have. Admittedly, it is an obligation for Christians to gather together and to worship the God of Scripture. But it is also a good to obey the dictates of the civil magistrate, which are, after all, intended for the protection of those who are doing well. So when a church and a minister meet to consider what it is that they should be doing in light of the coronavirus, it would be easy if it were if the civil magistrate were an evil entity and portrayed that way in Scripture. And I'm afraid there are those in the Christian libertarian school who are apt to do that, and that makes their decision easy. It's easy in the context of the COVID-19 to say that we can't gather to obey the dictates of an evil civil magistrate, because on the good side we are commanded to gather together for worship, but it's not that easy.
We have John in Bangor, Maine, who asks, I have heard that there have been churches in certain states that although they have been given back the freedom to reopen their buildings for public worship, they have been restricted from singing because that is believed to be a further agent of spreading the coronavirus. Is this kind of thing acceptable to you, where actually the government is getting involved in the order of worship and actual elements within what we consider commands of Scripture to practice in our public gatherings?
Excellent question. I have just been looking at that situation. Your caller is referencing what California has done. California has taken the position that even though the churches may be open for public worship, you reach a point where there are restrictions that have to be imposed on them for spreading the virus within the congregation. And one of those restrictions is that the church not engage in singing or engage in the use of wind instruments, the feeling being that that increases the risk of the spread of the virus through droplets. It's interesting that when you look at some of the cases that have developed in this, the case of California and the restrictions that California imposed went to the United States Supreme Court, and that's the first time that the United States Supreme Court has considered the issue. And the case there was whether churches, there are about six churches in California that sought an injunction to prevent Governor Newsom from implementing the California state prohibitions. And the United States Supreme Court ruled 5-4 in favor of the state of California. it indicated to me that even though that this was a situation where you had only a request for a preliminary injunction, in other words, it's not hearing the case fully on the merits, that were this question to be put before the Supreme Court on the merits, the Supreme Court might very well side on the side of the civil magistrate. But I don't think it's an accident that within several weeks after the state of California won in the Supreme Court, that you had these regulations and restrictions on singing within the congregations within the state of California. And I gather from the question that your caller asked is that he's got a problem with that, and I agree with him, because there are two different situations there. In the first situation, the Supreme Court of the United States said that the state of California may lawfully restrict who comes in to worship, but by its regulation several days later, the state purports to regulate what the churches can do once the people are inside worship. And I think those are two very different propositions. And I would go back to my spectrum between Romans 13:1 and Acts 5:29. And I think your caller would agree with this, that once you start regulating what can be done within worship, and in this case singing, I think you take another step forward toward Acts 5:29, when the churches are obligated to disobey the civil magistrate, because after all, we know that the scriptures enjoin the singing of praise to Almighty God. And so that would be my answer, to perhaps long-winded, but I think that's an excellent question.
Yes, it is, and I don't know if it ever came down to this as far as a restriction imposed by a local government anywhere, but I had heard rumors about even the Lord's Supper being banned because they thought that aided in further spread or risk of spread of the virus, and that would obviously be along the same lines of what you just mentioned.
It is the case, and I would say that at least from our own experience in my church at Shiloh Presbyterian Church, the elders there have taken very great care in terms of how the elements are to be distributed in terms of the Lord's Supper, recognizing that, yes, that is the closest possible contact that people in the church have with other people in the church. And so great restrictions and great care has to be taken in doing that. The elders wear masks. They have gloves on their hands. There is a limit on handling the bread and the wine and the distribution of the elements. So I think that is in response to a very legitimate concern. If I can go on to... if I'm not blowing on too long, Chris, just to make one more point on the Lord's Supper. And this case happens not in the United States, but it happens in Thessalonica, in Greece, in the Greek Orthodox Church. In the Greek Orthodox Church, it is the pattern to have a common cup, and in the common cup, the wine and the bread are mixed, and then when the people in the congregation do come up to partake of the elements, the priest spoons out in a common spoon both the bread and the wine, and he places it in the mouth of the congregants who come up to receive the Holy Eucharist. Now you talk about a close matter of contact that has a risk of spreading the virus, so much so that the civil authorities in Thessalonica took the position that said, you can't do that. You're violating our restrictions on the spread of the virus. And the church took the position that is blasphemy when you, as a civil magistrate, say that contagion can be spread from the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That is blasphemy, and they have refused to go along with the requirements there of the civil magistrate. And I haven't heard more on the case, but my understanding was that the civil magistrate in that case backed down. But your caller is right, and your question is right, that things like the Lord suffereth, things like singing, once we get involved in those types of things, we have a far different situation than we do in simply, can we assemble for public worship?
Well, I want to ask a follow-up question when we return from the first break. If anybody would like to join us, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dick Guido and our discussion of church versus state ? Right after these messages from our sponsors. Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arms. And if you just tuned us in, our guest today for the entirety of the program is Dick Guido, elder of the Providence Presbyterian Church in Huntsville, Alabama, and member of both the New York and Alabama Bar Association and the Bar of the Supreme Court. We are discussing part two of a discussion that we began in May, that is church versus state, not intrinsically in opposition. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And Dick, you were just talking about an Eastern Orthodox church in Thessalonica that refused to stop using one common cup and one common spoon in distributing the elements of the Lord's Supper as they see to be necessary, where the bread and the wine are mixed in a cup and spooned out and given in one, with one common spoon to everybody in the congregation. They refused to stop doing that, even though the government attempted to restrict them from doing that, and apparently the church won out in the long run. Now, you and I, from what I understand of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and I being a Reformed Baptist, we would both reject not only that practice of the Lord's Supper, we would especially reject it as being a requirement in faithfully observing the Lord's Supper. We would see that the elements of the way that this is being practiced is very superstitious, saying that because of course they believe in the real body and blood of Christ physically being present, and that would never be a conduit to spreading any kind of a virus. Obviously, that is a superstition. But at the same time, how are we to view these things as protecting and preserving, as American citizens, the rights of our fellow citizens to freely exercise their religion, even when we disagree with them? We believe that the free exercise of religion is not only something to be preserved for Bible-believing evangelical Christians and Reformed Christians, but obviously we believe that Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and Jews and Muslims and Roman Catholics and others, as long as they are not threatening the lives of others in a real way, as long as they are freely exercising their religion in such a manner where those who are their neighbors are not being imposed upon also. We would believe that they should have the right to exercise even what we would call heresy and blasphemy. But so how are we to respond to something like what you just said?
Well, I guess I would respond to it in terms of the breadth of the protections that this government affords to churches, mosques, and synagogues without distinctions. I think it's a rare government indeed that whose attorney general would issue a memorandum to the faith community. This was in October of 2017, that went at great length to remind the churches of the freedoms that they enjoy under the United States Constitution. Just to summarize some of them very briefly, number one, freedom of religion is a fundamental right of paramount importance, expressly protected by the Constitution and federal law. The free exercise of religion includes the right to act or refrain from acting in accordance with one's religious beliefs. The right to believe what one wants is absolute. And I think I said this the last time that I was on. As a lawyer, I see pretty few cases where I can say that something is absolute in the law. But the right to believe what one wants is an absolutely guaranteed right under the federal Constitution. It is certainly true that the right to practice those beliefs in some instances may be limited, and that's exactly what we're seeing here in the case of the over the COVID-19. But the government has a very high burden to pass to justify any limitations upon the practice of worship. Freedom of religion extends to persons and to organizations. Americans do not give up their freedom of religion by choosing to participate in the marketplace or interact with government. Government may not target religious individuals or entities through discriminatory enforcement. Religious employers are entitled to employ only persons whose beliefs and conduct are consistent with the employer's religious precepts. And that gets to a case that I hope to be able to get to discuss today that was decided since we last met by the United States Supreme Court. So suffice it to say that the freedoms that are given to the churches by the United States government are broad indeed. And if you look at how the cases have gone, which I also wanted to discuss since the cases since we last met, most of those, in fact, have gone in favor of the churches. Not all of them, but many of them have. So I think that's an answer to the point that you raised.
Well, why don't you discuss those very things that you mentioned?
Okay. And in terms of the cases that have recently arisen, in terms of the cases that have gone in favor of the civil magistrate, the one that's first and foremost, and that is because it was decided by the United States Supreme Court, this took place on May 29th, was South Bay Pentecostal Church versus Newsom, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. South Bay Pentecostal Church and several other California churches sought to stop Governor Newsom from enforcing his executive order, which put restrictions on church worship because of the virus. They claimed that the order infringed their First Amendment right to It was a 5-4 decision, and the Supreme Court sided with Governor Newsom. The decision was written by Chief Justice Roberts. His position was that in a pandemic like what is currently going on in the United States, courts should defer to politically elected officials who must be given the widest possible latitude to act in reliance on the advice from the medical doctors. You cannot have a situation where unelected judges second-guess elected officials and health experts. Now, that was by no means a unanimous decision. Four of the justices dissented, and Justice Kavanaugh wrote a dissenting opinion. He felt that the churches were being singled out by the California restrictions. Restrictions were being placed upon the churches that were not being placed on business gatherings. This is a quote from his opinion. Assuming all the same precautions are taken, why can someone safely walk down a grocery store aisle but not a pew? And why can someone safely interact with a brave delivery man but not with a stoic minister? I guess he had Presbyterian churches in mind there. I don't know, but he says that the First Amendment does not have an exception for pandemics. So that decision by the United States Supreme Court with regard to California was also the predicate, as we talked about, for the subsequent regulations by the state that limited the singing in the churches.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now, and you could continue where you left off when we come back. This is the longer than normal break, folks. Please be patient. Please remember that we have to use this middle break to allow Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, to obey FCC regulations in regard to localizing this show to Lake City, Florida. So therefore, while they air their own public service announcements in the middle of the show, we air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely and write down as much of the information for as many of the advertisers that we broadcast as you possibly can, so that you can more successfully patronize them. And that should, God willing, result in our advertisers desiring to remain as our advertisers. And therefore, God willing, we should be able to remain on the air for a longer future, because we absolutely rely upon our advertisers to exist. So please do that. And please also send in questions to our guest Dick Guido on Church versus State ? And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back with Dick Guido after these messages from our sponsors. Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. But Afuco and Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Bud Afuco and Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy, used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981.
1981 or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead.
Banu Gadi earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gadi so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gadi. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, don't forget to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all of your gift-giving needs, with all the reasons you're buying gifts in the future, including birthdays, including wedding anniversaries, including anniversaries of all kinds, including retirement gifts, including back-to-school gifts, bereavement gifts, even Christmas gifts. Why not start stocking up early before the December rush and have all of your Christmas gifts purchased so that you know that they will arrive to your loved ones in plenty of time. And in fact, you can deliver them if they're sent to you personally. But please always remember solid-ground-books.com for the finest in Christian literature, both from the past and present. And remember, don't only go to solid-ground-books.com to purchase gifts for your Christian loved ones. I think especially you might want to consider your lost loved ones as being recipients of books from Solid Ground Christian Books, because they need the gospel. They need eternal life, and God may use any of these books from Solid Ground Christian Books as a tool, as a vehicle, to draw them closer to the Lord and to ultimately save them. Go to solid-ground-books.com, and always remember to mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you make your purchases. They are a vital, a key, a primary sponsor of this program, and we would likely not exist without their financial support, barring a miracle of God. So please, put on display somewhere prominently in your home the website solid-ground-books.com. Before we return to our interview with Dick Guido on Church versus State? We have some important announcements to make. I am going to be attending, God willing, to Man and Exhibitors booth on August 28th and 29th, which is a Friday and Saturday, the Basics of Biblical Counseling Conference, which is going to be held at High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania. I hope as many of you as possible will attend that event with me and greet me at my exhibitors booth. This is going to be, I think, a really helpful conference, not only for church leaders, but for lay people alike, on knowing more about what biblical counseling truly is and why it is so important in the life of the church. Lectures are going to be conducted by Dale Johnson, the executive director of ACBC, which stands for the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. And those lectures include the need for biblical counseling, the definition and goal of biblical counseling, progressive sanctification, qualifications of a biblical counselor, secular and integration theories, what makes biblical counseling biblical, and a Q&A session with the audience. That's going to be Friday night and all day Saturday until 5 p.m. Please join me there by registering at biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton-PA-training. That's biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton, Scranton-PA-training. And you can also find out more details on High Point Baptist Church of Larksville, Pennsylvania at highpointbaptist.church, highpointbaptist.church. Feel free to email me if you were unable to write down any of that information in time. My email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please join me Friday and Saturday, August 28th and 29th at the High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania for the ACBC Conference on the Basics of Biblical Counseling. And folks, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a credit or a debit card. We really need your donations. We lost, and I'm hoping it's just temporary, but we lost our two largest financial supporters of this program because of the hysteria connected with the coronavirus pandemic. Their businesses were negatively impacted very severely, and they had to put on hold any further financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please help us make up for that enormous loss by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can also mail in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail by sending us a check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. You can also advertise with us. Anything that you are promoting just needs to be compatible with what we believe here. You don't need to be in total 100% agreement with me, in lockstep agreement, but you do need to be at least promoting something that's compatible with what I believe. Send that to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, remember, please never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church where you are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy if you're having a really hard time making ends meet in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those are two things that are commands of Scripture, providing for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you love the show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands I just mentioned, then please help us out generously and frequently by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, you need help finding one no matter where you live in the world, I may be able to help you because I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth. I may be able to help you find a church. I just responded to a listener who has a daughter in the Denver, Colorado area, to whom I gave several options for good, solid, Bible-believing Reformed churches in that area within a half-hour drive. No matter where you live, I may be able to help you So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest, Dick Guido, on church versus state, at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Dick, did you have any other further developments that have occurred that should be of great concern to the church at large, that we should be keeping an eye on, that we should be prayerfully seeking biblical response to, whether it be compliance to these laws or biblically lawful disobedience?
Yes, I did, Chris. If I may, let me briefly go through three very important cases that have recently been decided by the United States Supreme Court. They are not specifically in the context of the coronavirus, but they are cases which very much do have the potential of affecting the churches. The first case was decided on June 8th, and it's called Bostock versus Clayton County, Georgia. And there the Supreme Court decided that the provisions of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which outlaw employment discrimination on the basis of sex, now also outlaw employment discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and general preference. And by doing that, by including sexual orientation and gender preference within the protections of the Civil Rights Act, the court has dramatically expanded the reach of the homosexual agenda into our businesses, schools, and churches. And I think we will be feeling the effects of that decision for many years to come. The second case is called Our Lady of Guadalupe versus Morrissey Barrow. That was decided on July 8th by the United States Supreme Court. And there the question was a confrontation between the Civil Rights Act and the ability of churches to hire and fire employees based upon religious beliefs. And in that case, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of religious beliefs. It effectively decided that teachers in Christian schools who were hired under employment contracts that obligated them to support and project the Christian faith, the Roman Catholic faith, were entitled to protection as if they were ministers, and so they could not be attacked, or they could not be fired on the basis of anti-discrimination laws. They were protected by what they called the ministerial exception. Now, it all sounds pretty technical and pretty hard to grasp, but if you put those two cases together, if you put Bostock and Guadalupe together, you have a recipe, I think, for a very serious collision between the churches and the state in terms of recognition of gay rights. Let me give you, this is the kind of scenario that I thought of. You have a church, for example, that hires Robert as an assistant pastor. And one day, one Lord's Day, Robert comes into the church but wants to be called Roberta. And he says to you that he now identifies as a woman. And he wants to, in effect, to develop a feminized version of the scriptures in his sermons. And as a woman with whom he identifies, he gets fired because that's not in accord with the church's position. He then sues the church. He sues them under Bostock, which prohibits him being fired for sexual orientation. The church comes back under Guadalupe and says, Guadalupe says that I have complete discretion to hire and fire ministers according to the rites of Christian belief. Who wins in that case? And I think that that case is going to be coming up. I wouldn't be surprised if the homosexual agenda is already dreaming up a case that would test those issues. The final case that I want to very quickly address is an abortion case. It's called June Medical Services versus Russo. When Roe v. Wade was decided in 1973, the decision was that women have a constitutionally protected right under the 14th Amendment to abort early-stage pregnancies. And you will remember that Roe v. Wade adopted the trimester approach in evaluating at what point the women's rights or the state's rights prevailed in the pregnancy decision. In 1992, because of scientific advances in which it became clear that medicine had the right to safely deliver children at very early stages in pregnancy, the Supreme Court decided Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And that ruling basically upheld Roe's basic ruling that there is a constitutional right to terminate a pregnancy. But they rejected the rigid trimester approach. And they said that basically what the state could not do was impose an undue burden on a woman's right to terminate her pregnancy. So that was the issue in the case of June Medical Services versus Russo. What Louisiana did was to pass a statute that required abortion doctors to have local admission privileges at hospitals within 30 miles of their clinics. And failure to do that was punishable by a fine or a loss of license, civil liability. And in effect, it would have put out of business many of the abortion providers in Louisiana, in fact, almost all of them. The Supreme Court decided with the abortion providers. It basically said that that kind of a law imposed an undue burden on the women's of Louisiana's right to obtain an abortion. And let me quickly close here with the one thing that I want to emphasize in the case was Justice Clarence Thomas's opinion in dissent to that decision, where he went after Roe v. Wade, and in effect, he went after Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Just listen to what he said. Roe is grievously wrong for many reasons, but the most important is that its core holding, that the Constitution protects a woman's right to abort her own child, finds no support in the text of the 14th Amendment. The idea that the framers of the 14th Amendment understood the Due Process Clause to protect a right to abortion is farcical. In 1868, when the 14th Amendment was ratified, a majority of the states and numerous territory had laws on the books that limited, and in some cases prohibited, abortion. It would no doubt shock the public at that time to learn that one of the new constitutional amendments, that is the 14th Amendment, contained hidden within it a right to abortion. The fact that it took this court over a century to find that right all but proves that it was more than hidden. It was simply not there. And so that is that's the case of June Medical Services versus Russo in the abortion context. Don't let me take up too much time. Those are the three cases I wanted to cover.
Well, I'm assuming you believe that every single Christian, every single pastor and elder and office bearer in the true Church of Jesus Christ should never cave in to what any government tries to impose upon us in regard to hiring those who are unrepentant in their wickedness and their rebellion against Christ and His Word, such as homosexuals and so-called transgendered folks. We should never cave in into perhaps offering counseling to pregnant women that would give them an option to murder their unborn children as something that they have a freedom and right to do, which is possibly the next step in the government's restrictions upon how churches teach and counsel people. I'm assuming that you would say that we would rather become a parking lot and cease to exist as a congregation than obey such abomination for laws.
Let me go back to the spectrum that I think is important in evaluating these kinds of issues. That is the spectrum between Romans 13:1, where we're obligated to obey the civil magistrate, and to Acts 5:29, when we must obey God rather than men. I would say those cases that you have put to me in that case, in that question, come much closer to the Acts 5:29, if not being there, than they do to Romans 13:1. Those are the kinds of cases where, according to the spectrum that I believe is biblical, bids us to disobey the civil magistrate and to obey what God commands us.
Okay, well, we have some questions from listeners here. We have John in New York, New York. There doesn't seem to be a civil liberty objection to evacuations when hurricanes approach. Yet, an evacuation order by default requires churches to close. Since the coronavirus pandemic is also a natural disaster, isn't it appropriate for the civil magistrate to order closings of public establishments under the same safety precautions that are used for other natural disasters?
Well, I think that gets at the issue that has come up so many times in the litigation that has happened with regard to restrictions on the churches. I believe the fundamental understanding of most courts is that the civil magistrate does have the legitimate power under the state police power to see to the health and welfare of the public in terms, including those who are Christians and in attendance upon worship. The problem arises is when they don't treat the churches in the same way that they do other aspects of society. We've seen a number of cases where, for example, bowling alleys and movies and, in some cases, restaurants, even abortion clinics, are allowed to remain open while there are placed great restrictions upon the ability of the churches to gather. And I think that's what John was getting at in his question.
Well, obviously, there is... maybe it's not obvious to everybody, including John, but there is a difference between something that is nearly certain will cause in great damage and death, like a hurricane, and something that's debatable amongst even so-called experts in medicine on the severity of the coronavirus. And the ease of spread and so on. So there, I think that there is a difference between those things. And John has another question that I am, from the get-go, I'm not certain I agree with him on. But he says, it is clear from the data that we have seen around the world that wearing a mask significantly reduces the spread of COVID-19. Well, I constantly see medical experts disagreeing on that, even to this day. But... having said that, John continues, with this in mind, do you feel that refusing to wear a mask in public during this outbreak is a selfish act that directly violates the biblical principle of loving your neighbor and what Paul gives us in Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others others better than yourselves? Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Well, there are places where the law is not even requiring that everywhere in public we wear a mask, walking around the streets of our community and so on. But anyway, how do you respond to what John is saying?
Well, I think it's a his question is a species of a broader question of prudence that I think the churches have to exercise when they decide what they should be doing in response to the pandemic vis-a-vis the outside world. We all know that there have been instances where people in the outside world, neighbors and so forth, take great umbrage at the fact that there are those who within the Christian community feel that notwithstanding what the civil magistrate has said, they have the right to assemble for worship and thereby risk infection not only to themselves, but to those around them. And I think wearing a face mask is a species of that question. This is what one commentator said on this and on the those views that you have the right to assemble in church. You must assemble in church worship despite what the civil magistrate says. I am astonished by how many people think a deadly pandemic is the right time to foment the spirit of rebellion and pick a fight with the government over what many will inevitably see as our right to infect others. That's what it looks like to our neighbors. They do not see this as a testimony of our unshakable faith, but as the evidence of callous unconcern for their lives and for the lives of the police, grocery workers, mailmen, health workers, and garbage men with whom we all interact. So the question of the mask is, I think, is one of prudence in addressing both the health risk and the church's witness to the outside world, and I would decidedly come down on the favor of wearing the mask.
Even when it's not required? Like, you're saying that we are selfish if we are walking around the streets of our community without a mask, even though the government's not requiring us to?
Again, I think it's a matter of individual conscience and individual prudence. We had in the church in Alabama a question as to whether it was the appropriate thing not to require people to wear masks, which the church doesn't in worship, but there are social distancing and the other many health precautions that we have taken. And in that case, we have sought to, as best we can, to take into account the scruples of those who feel that they would have trouble coming if other people, if they wore a mask and other people didn't. So we go back to the point that I think it's a matter of Christian prudence.
And I was going to say something and it completely flew out of my head. Oh, well, what I was going to say is, isn't there, though, a time when you have to say, okay, enough is enough? Like, for instance, if you think it is lawful for a governor to prevent or prohibit the opening of a church for public gatherings again, because we don't know how long this freedom that we have again to gather publicly is going to be remain intact. It could be taken away again, and we could have further prohibitions to refrain from public gathering. I mean, who knows what the future brings? That you may have governments here in the United States, locally and federal, who are saying, "I'm sorry, but you're going to have to do all of your worship via." The internet. The public gatherings are no longer considered safe, and therefore you are not going to be able to assemble publicly in the same building for worship as you once did, and therefore you're not going to be having the ordinances, and you're not going to be joining together in song, etc. This is not something that's a fairy tale. It could possibly occur. Aren't we to eventually say, okay, this is where the line is crossed. We are not going to, in perpetuity, obey such a rule.
I think, Chris, that's exactly what I'm saying, that there is a point where one, as a Christian, has to evaluate the situation that he finds himself on the spectrum that I outlined to you. I think it's certainly possible to conceive of the kinds of drastic and draconian situations that that you outlined to me, and to on that basis speculate as to what we might do. I just prefer for myself to look at what actually happened in this country right now, with 1.8 million people infected with coronavirus, and more than 142,000 having died because of the coronavirus. And I compare that to what the civil magistrate has done vis-a-vis the churches to deal with it, which I find to be perfectly reasonable, limited in duration and limited in extent. And therefore, if it takes wearing a mask under those provisions, I will go along with it. I think that's an appropriate expression of the civil liberty that I have as a Christian, so as not to offend others within the community, even though I might disagree with wearing a mask personally. That's why I do think that when churches have to evaluate these situations, it's absolutely key that those who are making those decisions are informed by the whole counsel of God, that they have in what we call in the Presbyterian circles a plurality of elders, so that it's not a one-man show, they can have differing views brought to bear on this. I'm not here to say that my view is, you know, my way or the highway, but I am here to say that I think the Scriptures deal with these kinds of questions and do so in a way that establishes the spectrum and calls for a maximum of prudence by Christian decision makers, taking into account the whole counsel of God.
And John of New York, New York, has one final question. How do you get your cat to wear a mask? I'm assuming he was joking about that, but thanks for...
Starbuck is right here on my desk.
Did you say your cat is on your desk?
Starbuck is my cat, is on my desk.
And is he wearing a mask?
He took it off.
Okay. We're going to our final break right now, and if you'd like to join us, this is your last opportunity. Send in your email immediately to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dick Guido and the remainder of part two of Church versus State? Don't go away.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, you can order by phone as well at 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. You can only successfully order by phone Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Those are the only days and hours that the phone line is manned. There is no voicemail on that line. Also, please remember that we have another book-related sponsor that is a publisher, unlike CVBBS, which is a book distributor. So I strongly urge you, if you're going to order from CVBBS, which carries books by a multitude of publishers, that you first go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, the website for Solid Ground Christian Books, make a long list of titles that they publish that you'd like to order, and then go to cvbbs.com and order them there, because cvbbs.com carries all of Solid Ground Christian Books' titles, and they will order them for you if they don't happen to have them in stock at the moment. That way you help both of our advertisers that are book-related at the same time, and there's no conflict, there's no competition. As I said, one is a publisher, one is a book distributor. So remember that, if you could. And we are now back with our final 6 minutes or so with our guest today, Dick Guido, and we have been discussing church versus state question mark. And we do have a listener in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, Harrison, who says, should we not be very, very distrusting and leery over so-called health experts that are being paraded on the media day after day, who also, as scientists, would claim in agreement with the leftists that babies, even at 9 months in development, are not human beings that are protected from being murdered, and that if somebody who is male biologically chooses to identify as a woman, they should be regarded truly as a woman, and vice versa?
Well, I would say it this way, Chris. I don't think I'm a Pollyanna who is unaware of the problems that that we are seeing with regard to the coronavirus and the advice that we are getting from health experts, the conflicts that exist, the self-interest that exists. I only can say that they are a part of the civil magistracy that our God has ordained for the good of his people, and that when we look at what they say, Christians are bidden to take that with a grain of salt, cum grano salis, and therefore evaluate and not take automatically at full value what they have said in terms of how we as Christians are going to reply to the act with regard to the virus.
Well, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention John in New York, New York. If you are a first-time questioner, I can't recall if you have ever sent in a question before, you have won a free New American Standard Bible. So if that's the case, send us your full mailing address in New York City, and we'll have cvbbs.com ship that Bible out to you. I'd like you to have about 2 minutes now, 2.5 minutes, to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Well, let me step back, Chris, and say that apart from, you know, the civil magistrate and the litigation and the churches and all the rest, that the world of today, of July 22nd, is a very different world than it was 5 months ago. We have entered into a new normal where even baseball games are going to be played in empty stadiums. That should prompt us to think about the fact that the most important fact of our time is something that can't even be seen. It is a virus that's 1/1,000th the size of a human hair. It should prompt us to think about the reality of the unseen, and that there is a truth that transcends that which we can see and touch. And that causes us to reflect upon the God who is the author of truth, who came down to us as a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a stable at Bethlehem, and died for us on a cross in Jerusalem. He has ascended to the right hand of God, and for God's people, that makes all the difference, notwithstanding a pandemic. The 91st Psalm says this: He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Thou shalt not be afraid for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that watches, that wasteth at noonday. So those are my concluding thoughts. Chris, I think we need to step back as Christians and recognize what a sovereign and what a loving God we have, despite all the things that are going on around us.
Amen. And folks, please remember the two churches that are connected with our guest today, Dick Guido, Providence Presbyterian Church in Alabama, and also the Shiloh Presbyterian Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, can be found at these websites. First of all, we have Providence Presbyterian We have ProvidenceHuntsville.com, ProvidenceHuntsville.com for Providence Presbyterian Church, Huntsville, Alabama, and also the Shiloh Presbyterian Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, at ShilohOPC.org. That's ShilohOPC.org. And please, folks, if you can make it a point to try to be with me in Scranton, Pennsylvania, August 28th and 29th for the Basics of Biblical Counseling Conference, go to biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton-PA-training. That's biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton, C-R-A-N-T-O-N, -PA-training. Thank you, everybody who listened today, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.